and a residential mortgage licensee. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Two of that 590 show coming at you right here on the all-new 590 The Fan. 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line, 855-282-8255. And you can tweet the show at 590 Show. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is a film critic for RealSpoilers.com. That's where you can download the podcast, and you can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. If you listen to me on the Heavy Hitters, this man is no stranger. We had him on every Thursday night to talk movies. Kevin, how are you, sir?
Hey, Matt. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. Good to finally hear your voice again, my friend.
I know. Long time no talk. How you been?
Good. I can't complain. Can't complain. Other than the weather. The weather sucks. Other than that, life's beautiful.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm ready to talk movies with you. It's been a while.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about the big one opening tomorrow. Tomorrow, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Now, I have not seen the first one, but I've heard nothing but good things about the first one. When I saw the trailer for it, though, a couple years ago, I'm like, this movie is going to bomb. I'm like, it looks stupid. It's got a talking raccoon, it's got a talking tree, and some girl who's green. I'm like, who's going to go see this movie? But it was a huge box office success, critically acclaimed, and it looks like this one's going to be the same.
You're right. So the thing is, with the first Guardians of the Galaxy, it's a property that, you know, is even lower down on the totem pole than Iron Man. And you have to remember that when Iron Man was the very first Marvel Cinematic Universe film, I mean, that was at a time where Iron Man was a C-list comic character.
Absolutely.
Nobody knew Tony Stark. Nobody knew Iron Man. Now he's the most popular superhero of all because those movies are so good. But, you know, you really have to put yourself, you know, in your shoes back then and remember who he was. So now we're talking about, you know, fast forward to this is a few years back and you've got the first Guardians coming out, and these are characters even more obscure than him. And, you know, even though all the Marvel stuff's been going on with Captain America and Iron Man and Thor and all that kind of stuff, it's still like, who are the Guardians of the Galaxy? So, you know, that was the one that critics and a lot of people in the film community said that's going to be Marvel's first misstep. That could be their first bomb. And then it comes out and people love it. It's a huge hit, you know. I mean, it gets up there towards the $1 billion mark. And, you know, honestly, it was universally acclaimed. And so the great thing about this second one now is that you've got the same team coming back. You have writer-director James Gunn, and you have the entire cast returning. You have Chris Pratt as Star-Lord, who's the main superhero. You have his, you know, his team, the Guardians, made up of Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, who's, you know, a wrestler turned actor, who, you know, has been actually in a lot of good roles lately. He was in the last James Bond movie as a villain. You have Vin Diesel voicing Baby Groot, which is kind of odd because Groot, the big tree that you saw in the first one, is now a baby through the circumstances
And Vin Diesel's known for having that kind of gravelly kind of growl.
Right.
I mean, obviously this isn't a voice that he can just put on. They're having some kind of effect on it.
Right. Well, the funny thing is that, of course, even from watching the trailers, you know that Groot only says three words. He says, "I am Groot."
Yeah.
And so at first that was in Vin's voice. Now you've got a little baby voice. So not only does he have three words to say, but, you know, they modify it heavily so it doesn't even sound like him. So it's funny, but I guess he's a part of it.
You were talking about Marvel. I mean, people were saying that the first Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be Marvel's first bomb. Has Marvel really even had a bomb? I'm trying to think. I don't think they've had a movie that's really bombed.
No, absolutely not. They have had nothing close to even being able to call it a bomb. So after Guardians, you had Ant-Man, and then they said Ant-Man was going to be the first bomb. That ended up making a decent amount of money. There was controversy because the director left it. Edgar Wright, who's a great director, it ended up, you know, going to someone else. They were worried about how it would turn out, and that made, you know, a decent amount of money and was pretty funny. I enjoyed it. And then you went to Doctor Strange, which was, you know, the most recent one, and that, of course, had Benedict Cumberbatch, and that is a that is a movie that's so far from anything else we've seen. So this isn't a guy that's, you know, building a suit. This isn't a guy given super strength and throwing a shield around. You're talking about powers. You know, we're talking about this, you know, we're talking about stuff we haven't ever seen before. So that was another weird one that I'd put in the same category as Guardians, and the movie was fantastic. It made a ton of money. Everyone loved it again. So at this point, I mean, you just don't bet against Marvel. No matter how weird or obscure the property is, they haven't failed us once. So, you know, I tend to give them the benefit of the doubt and expect that the movies are going to be pretty good.
Kevin, has it gotten to the point where Marvel's not going to doubt what they could put out there? Essentially, they went out there with Guardians of the Galaxy and then Ant-Man, and like you said, they did fine. I mean, they did better than fine. They did good. And so at this point, is there any idea that Marvel's not going to be willing to tackle?
You know, that's a great question. So the joke was, you know, I started off whenever we saw Guardians and then we saw Ant-Man, you know, the joke was kind of that these must be bar bets that someone at DC
exactly.
or an executive from Marvel were like, you're not going to make an Ant-Man or you're not going to make a Guardians of the Galaxy, and they do it and make $700, $800 million, you know, and they just keep going. So honestly, I think the creative team is so strong. So you have the Russo brothers who directed Winter Soldier. Now, if you remember, before Winter Soldier, those two brothers directed episodes of Community, and they directed You, Me, and Dupree. Those were their directing credits.
That's amazing.
And they went and did Winter Soldier, which is one of the highest regarded, you know, Marvel films as being a film, not just a good superhero movie, but an excellent film. And then now they're taking over the Avengers. So Joss Whedon directed the Avengers. He directed the second Avengers, Age of Ultron. And he left after that. And the Russo brothers, who are in charge of the Captain America stuff, who also directed Civil War, they are now in charge of the big team up. And so, you know, the next up after Guardians is Infinity War and Infinity War 2. There's two movies planned, and combined they have a $1 billion budget.
Oh my God.
You brought up the Russo brothers, and so I have to ask. I know they had You, Me, and Dupree, but is it true that the special episodes of Community, the Dungeons and Dragons one where they did all the special effects, is it true that those were essentially like the audition tapes for their directorial jobs on the Marvel movie?
You know what? I've heard that. I think there's a good chance. I mean, those guys are comic book guys. You know, they didn't just pick it up whenever they got the job. So they know their stuff, and I think they definitely tried to, you know, show as much, you know, with what they had available. And at the time, it was Community. So when you see those specialty episodes, Community was famous for having a lot of really cool, fun episodes, whether it be gaming or, you know, just pop culture stuff. And so, yeah, I think that they definitely were picked up from there, and people could see their talent, love for the property. So I'm excited to see what they do next. But, you know, as far as this one goes, you know, the great thing about Guardians 2 is that we don't have to have the origin story. So since nobody really know who the Guardians were, the first time around, we had to learn their story, and there's five of them, five main characters, and the villains, and all that stuff. So we kind of hit the ground running with this one. The Guardians are established as, it's in the name, they're the Guardians of the Galaxy, and so they've made a name for themselves. They saved the world at the end of the first one, and now, you know, they're hired for different jobs that are high risk and high danger from different aliens and different races around the galaxy. And so this one, you know, is very heavily revolving around family. And so I won't go too much into the plot, but basically the big mystery in the first movie was we don't know who Star-Lord, played by Chris Pratt's dad, is. So he doesn't know his dad. We don't know who he is. We know his mom passes away, and then he kind of goes on his adventure. So this movie is about him finding his father and trying to deal with that and what that means for the team. You know, it's not a super, you know, far-fetched, you know, it's not something so different from other things we've seen like that, where a family member comes back into the character's life, and then, you know, they have to struggle with their new family versus the old family kind of thing. But it's told in a really, really good way. You've got fantastic actors. You have Kurt Russell joining the cast here, who is fantastic. I mean, Kurt Russell's always good, but
he's amazing
so
in everything.
Phenomenal.
He's amazing in everything. I love Kurt Russell.
He is. He's amazing in Fast and Furious movies. I mean, just Kurt Russell is awesome. So you have Sylvester Stallone playing a small role here. You have, of course, Bradley Cooper is voicing Rocket Raccoon, the one you mentioned earlier. But you have some extended roles for people returning that we didn't see as much the first time around. So Sean Gunn, brother of James Gunn, they're, of course, St. Louis natives. Sean Gunn has an extended role. He plays Kraglin, who is one of the Ravengers. They are kind of the ones that are hunting down Peter and his team throughout the first movie and again in this one. And then their leader, played by Michael Rooker, his name is Yondu, and he has an extended role. So we get to see more from these characters that we only had a glimpse of in the first one. And I'll tell you, it's not just action. There's a lot of emotion. That's a very well-written script. There's a lot of really serious moments interjected with all these, you know, of course, Chris Pratt's in it and people are cracking jokes. Batista's funny. But, you know, it's a complete movie. It's not just fun. It's not just action, but it's not a bunch of boring stuff. You know, it really is a perfect balance. And so I was entertained throughout the entire thing. It's a little long. It's over 2 hours. But, you know, there's a lot that they have to fit in there. And I think this is going to get anyone that sees this, I think we'll be excited for the next Avengers because now the Guardians are joining. So you're talking about, you know, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, all those guys joining with the Guardians, joining with Spider-Man, joining with Ant-Man. I mean, this thing, there's a reason why it has a $1 billion budget for these two movies. We're talking about everybody in a movie together.
Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. You were in the opening segment, you mentioned something about Iron Man being a C-list comic book character, but every time I hear Iron Man, I think of this episode of Seinfeld where George and Jerry had a discussion on whether or not Iron Man wore anything under his iron suit, if he was naked or if he wore his underwear. So every time I see Iron Man, I think of that episode of Seinfeld. Another movie that's coming out tomorrow that has a pretty good Rotten Tomato meter reading is called Chuck. It's about Chuck Wepner, which is what the movie Rocky was loosely based off, starring Liev Schreiber. What have you heard about this movie?
You know, that's one that I didn't get the chance to see, but I'm hearing good things about it. It's been one that I've heard kind of kicked around for a while now, and I'm interested to see that and how close that story is. Of course, obviously, Rocky is very, you know, very dramatic, and you know, Stallone wrote that. Definitely, I mean, that's the one that he got did he win the Oscar for best screenplay?
Rocky. Yeah, that's a lot of people don't know that Sylvester Stallone, as much as he's made fun of for his acting and for good reason most of the time, that he did win an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay for the movie Rocky.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was an original screenplay, so it's not like he based it off a book or anything. So, you know, there are going to be a lot of changes. So I'm interested to see how this story of the real guy compares to that story that Stallone made up. But the Stallone story, sounds like you're familiar with it, but, you know, the fact that they wanted to get somebody else to direct it and star in it, and he basically took no money just so that he could direct Rocky.
You want to compare the two. They recently made another movie about Jake LaMotta, and I don't understand why they did that. I'm like, you're going to make a better one than Martin Scorsese did with Raging Bull? It makes no sense to me.
Right.
Well, Kevin, we are in May, so we're getting close to the summer blockbuster season. I guess you could say that Guardians of the Galaxy is probably the first one. What are some of the big movies coming out this summer that we can look forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a little early for summer, but I definitely consider this in the same blockbuster category. Another one that's coming out May 19th, Alien Covenant. So I don't know if you guys are big Alien fans, but this is the sequel to Prometheus, which was the prequel to Alien.
Yeah.
So this movie is what's going to bridge
with Michael Fassbender and both movies, correct?
Yep, exactly. Basically, Prometheus just came out as kind of a sci-fi movie directed by Ridley Scott, and then, you know, it was revealed at the end there's a connection with Alien. So that was the big surprise. So now we're going to kind of see how the two franchises tie together.
I was going to say, you said it's a sequel to a prequel, so where does it fall on the timeline of the original Alien?
Before.
Well, I think this is gonna be right in the middle. So we're gonna see how Prometheus gets to Alien, and so this will be right in the middle.
I mean, it's kind of like the whole Star Wars thing. Like today is May the 4th, so it is Star Wars Day, National Star Wars Day, TBS, they're showing every Star Wars movie today. It started like at 5:30 this morning. They started with The Phantom Menace, and then when I got home this afternoon at 3:30, it was right in the middle of A New Hope. So I would imagine when I get home tonight, it's either going to be Empire or Jedi. But back to the summer movies here, I think one that a lot of people are looking forward to, maybe it's going to be Marvel's first a superhero hit, and that's Wonder Woman with Gal Gadot.
Oh, yeah, DC finally. I mean, this is the thing. We keep hoping. Man of Steel came out to lackluster release. It wasn't awful. I mean, I think it's the favorite of this new DC extended universe. But, you know, the trailers looked so good. And I mean, that we've talked about trailers before in our previous discussions. I mean, Suicide Squad, a movie that, you know, I've talked about and just despised that movie, it had a completely different cut. And the trailers looked so good. And the studio was so worried because the movie looked nothing like the trailers. They actually hired the company, the Trailer Park, to edit the final cut of the film. So that's the effect that trailers can have on a movie. And so, you know, we were excited about Man of Steel. I enjoyed it, but I know a lot of people didn't. Then Batman v Superman was a big letdown for most people. Suicide Squad made a ton of money, but critically terrible. So, I mean, I think Wonder Woman is in a very tricky spot. You have some good actors. You have Gal Gadot. You have Chris Pine as the love interest, Steve Trevor. The thing is that this movie has a lot writing on it. So you have, this could be the first really good DC movie. It's directed by a female director. So, I mean, there's a very small percentage of action movies that are given to female directors. And so if this is a good one, then we'll see more of that happening, which is great for diversity. But then also, if this is good and it kind of connects us with Justice League, that would just make us feel a lot better going into that.
Because, well, isn't that what kind of DC is doing? Kind of like what they did, what Marvel did with the Avengers, how every single one of the Avengers, for the most part, had their own movie. Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, The Incredible Hulk. They're doing that same thing with Justice League, and this is the first one where Wonder Woman's going to have her own movie, Aquaman's going to have his, and they're even making we talked about it before, about another Batman movie with Ben Affleck as Batman because they're having trouble finding a director.
Yeah, well, see, the problem is, the main issue with that is Marvel, since Iron Man, set it up the smart way. They did an Iron Man movie. They did a Thor movie. They did a Captain America movie. Each character's film was so good on its own merit, you know? And with Man of Steel, you had that, the first movie in this franchise or this universe is the Superman movie. And then the very second movie was basically a mini Justice League. You had Superman, you had Batman, you had Wonder Woman, you had Joker, and you know, you had all these different things, or at least remnants of different bag, you know. And so it's like they didn't do it in the right order. They were too too anxious to make the money from all these characters, and so by doing that they skipped a lot of development and a lot of the benefits that came with those Marvel movies that had their standalones first. So that's the big worry, is that they're basically just trying to rush things along and not build up their characters first. And so I think ultimately that's going to be their failure, and hopefully I'm proven wrong and they get their act together.
Not saying they should have done individual movies, I know that never was part of the plan, but I think the fact that they're rushing so much was really apparent in Suicide Squad, when it was like, okay, let's get all these names and let's try to market all these different villains that no one actually could name before we actually tried, you know, began this marketing campaign, and let's just throw them all at the people at once, and you know, we'll try this, you know, bad is good kind of angle, and it just, all of it was a train wreck.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that is, so yeah, I totally agree with you. There's no way they could do one villain per one single movie. I mean, they're not even giving their superheroes one single movie. So I get that they couldn't do that. But the problem with Suicide Squad is they talk about how bad those villains are supposed to be. These are supposed to be the worst of the worst. And then when you get to the movie, they don't do anything bad. They don't act like villains. I think, like, the worst thing Harley Quinn does is she breaks a window and takes a purse. And she's like, I'm a bad guy. Well, I mean, that's not the worst of the worst. And you actually have good guys, which I don't want to I mean, I don't know if you can spoil Suicide Squad or if it even matters.
It's been out for a year now. Go ahead, spoil it away.
You're good.
Yeah, you have good guys like Amanda Waller, who runs the Suicide Squad, and then she's trying to clean up a bunch of documents in her center where all her FBI guys are working, and she ends up talking to another character about something that's classified, and then she shoots all her own just, you know, FBI employees in the head and says, oh, they weren't you know, cleared for that level or whatever. So you've got the good guys shooting people that probably have families and are never done anything wrong in the head, and then you have bad guys that are, like, better than them. So I don't even know. It was just a mess.
They gave them all redeemable backstories, especially, like, Will Smith's character. They gave them all these redeemable backstories. It's like, oh, there goes there goes any edge to this.
They're bad guys, but they're not that bad guys. And Margot Robbie, she's really hot, so it's really hard to hate her. I mean, come on. We know what's going on. Yeah. Kevin, we got to go. We got another guest lined up. But good hearing from you, my friend, and we'll have you on again next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to talking to you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin. That is Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
I love the Russo Brothers stuff. That's crazy. They went from doing a handful of a TV show that was under threat constantly of being canceled because no one was watching it. They do a handful of episodes from that show, and that's their audition tape for something that blows up that way. That's incredible.
I remember, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, when MTV still showed music videos, and every single hip-hop video was an audition tape for every producer in Hollywood showing, hey, I can act, and for the director saying, hey, I can direct. Because everything, you had credits to a music video. Here's the music video. It's Usher, you know, directed by Hype Williams, starring Usher. And it's like, seriously? Come on. Let's head back to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and Matt Rocchio.
NBA action has started for the night. The Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards, 5.5 minutes left to go in the first frame, and the Wizards are leading that game 16-12 on the NHL docket. The Rangers have taken the lead with 1 minute left in the first period behind a Nick Holden goal. It is 1-0 over the Senators right now. And the Rockies and the Padres have gone final in San Diego. The Rockies taking this one 3-2 with a win in the 11th. The Cubs took down the Phillies earlier today 5-4 in the 13th in the other NL Central game. The Reds took down the Pirates 4-2.